You are listening to The Evolved Masculine. Whether you are wanting more and better sex, more confidence, healthier relationships, or a greater understanding of and deeper connection to your masculinity, this is the podcast for you. I am your host, Destin Garrick. Welcome, everyone. This is Destin Garrick, and you are watching and listening to the Evolved Masculine podcast. We're a little bit off schedule when it comes to these podcast episodes, in part because COVID, quarantining, life has gotten interesting, to say the least. And then, of course, added on, we have the latest of the murders by our police against generally black people, and particularly black men, and the latest and greatest thus far of protests and protest movements around this. These have impacted me. They've impacted me quite a bit. Clearly not just me. I mean, look at the streets, look at the news. There's so much intensity, so much energy moving through here. And then I also come across so many different people who seem to largely be kind of just trying to move on with their lives. Whether we're talking about police murders or whether we're talking about COVID, some folks just try to, move on with life and go on business as usual, pretend that nothing's really going on. Let me just focus on my thing, what I'm doing, what I'm creating, and we're all good. That's really what I have to say. An aspect of the evolved masculine, as I continuously put him out into the world, is that he is a man of principles and values. And he knows what those principles and values are, and he is a stand for them. He is a stand for them. He is willing to live for those values, and if necessary, he'd be willing to die for them. And here we are. We have so much going on. We have a movement in front of us of the intensity of which I don't know if we've seen in my lifetime. There's a real opportunity for real change occurring in real time. What are you doing? Are you engaged? Are you active? Are you in the streets, communicating with others, using social media, engaged with your congresspeople, creating in the world, using your voice, confronting people in your midst who you previously would have just let it go? What are you doing in the midst of this moment? How are you engaging with the intensity of it all? What does it bring up for you on an emotional level? And what is the opportunity here for you and within you as you are in your own journey of really stepping into the person, for many of you, the man that you're here to be in the world? So, as I hold these questions for you, of course, first and foremost, I've been holding these questions for myself. Today, I've brought on as my guest, Sanika, the Firestarter Street. And I've been getting to know Sanika over the past, probably five-ish years. Just piece by piece, and very much appreciating his voice, and particularly things that I have seen him sharing and using his voice around, I thought would be particularly valuable for you, for my audience here. And let me share a little bit of the background of who he is, bio-wise, and then we'll bring him on. You get to see and feel and experience who he is. As it starts with his bio, Sanika the Firestarter Street is a powerhouse. I think you'll get that. He lights the fire in you so you can light up the world. So good. Sounds good so far. He teaches people how to stop negotiating with themselves, to pick one path and go all in via his high performance coaching program, the All In Method. It's about living in the black and white, no gray. As high powered storyteller and speaker, Sanika has spoken word storytelling as an uses spoken word storytelling as an innovative method to tell stories for some of the biggest brands in the world. He's worked with Sony PlayStation, Fox Network, U.S. Department of Defense. I want to ask you about that one. Universal Music Group and Inc. Global. And then, of course, also find him on Instagram, at Firestarter Live. So I'm sure that that is just the beginning of who you actually are and what you bring to the table, Sanyika. Sanyika, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, brother. I appreciate the introduction. You need to be the new publicist. That was great. That was great. I love it. I love it. Thank you, man. I'm excited to be here. I really am, man. I'm really excited to be here. I'm really excited to talk about being an evolved man and about masculine energy, even for the women who may be listening. You know, as it speaks to really, again, the title is really succinct: picking a side and taking a stand. So we can dig in. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's go. Let's just dig right in. Let's take a stand. So first of all, you've had this. You've had this focal point since before the past month or so. Why, to begin with, why have your thing being no black and white, forget the grays and take a stand? How did that come to be for you?
You know, I've realized that in my life, in a lot of ways, I've always had a big voice. Like, I've always been I'm a big person too, right? So I'm 6'8", and I've always had a big voice. And one of the things I realized in my life was that you cannot change the world from a disempowered place. And I used to feel very disempowered in my life. And I used to think it was because of external circumstances, things that were happening in the world around me. And then I realized that that to transform the world outside of you, you have to transform the world inside of you. And I realized that there were a lot of areas in my life where I was very murky, right? The water was dirty. It wasn't clear, decisive, succinct, direct, where I was not. And so I would take a stand for things, but I didn't make my voice big enough, so loud enough for the people in the back, right? So I would, you know, take a stand for some things, but it wasn't loud enough for the people in the back. And then I realized that the thing I needed to do was to take a stand for myself and to operate on what I call non-negotiable commitments.
Non-negotiable commitments. Like, what's a non-negotiable commitment?
Non-negotiable commitment is literally living by the thing in your life that changes the least, right? So for instance, like beliefs change, right? Your beliefs will change. But what changes the least? You spoke to them earlier, your principles and your values, right? And so my values are non-negotiable, right? They're non-negotiable. There would have to be some catastrophic event for me to feel like I needed to live out of integrity. Integrity is a value,
yeah.
Right? Being in integrity, being accountable is a value, right? There has to be some catastrophic world-changing event that would make me need to change, which essentially means that they're inflexible in those regards. So what happens is a lot of people stand on beliefs, but what they need to stand on is values, because the values don't change. They're broader and they encompass the being that you are, the human being that you choose to be. So that's the thing. That's a non-negotiable commitment. And so what I realized—
We've got integrity. We've got accountability. What other are your foundational values?
Diversity. Diversity. Mm. Courage is a value. Responsibility. Mm. Leadership is a value. Right? These are values. And so, you know, yeah, you can take a seat in the back, but you're going to be taking a backseat in your life and in every aspect of your life if you choose not to lead. And so what's happened is I feel like, as you know, I feel like COVID-19 and Black Lives Matter have been referendums. They've been votes, right? They've been these referendums. The first thing, COVID-19 was a referendum on experts, right? People who thought they were experts, you know, but like, I'm broadcast myself as an expert because that's what I need to be. And that's how I need to position myself and my marketing material and everything like that. And then all of a sudden a world-changing catastrophe comes across the world and you need real people to be able to save your business. And then you call up these experts and then they can't help you because all it was a marketing push, right? That's the first one. And then Black Lives Matter was a referendum on courage. Man, so many people co-opting values that they saw on a quote card or a Facebook meme or something like that. And yeah, you know, lean into the discomfort. Yeah, you know. And then it got uncomfortable.
Ooh, fuck yeah.
And then it got uncomfortable, homie. Oh, I need to lean into the discomfort, but not that discomfort, because that discomfort isn't the kind of discomfort I want to be. I need to be more comfortable in that discomfort, because, and then especially for coaches and leaders and speak, like, you're telling me that you're that in this moment, what happened is that you had an opportunity to speak up on behalf of a movement that speaks to a core value, principle, diversity, equality, freedom, justice. That's what Black Lives Matter is about. And what happened is a lot of people took the back seat. A lot of leaders took the back seat. They go, you know, I don't really want to, that's too uncomfortable. That's too discomforting to me.
Or worse, to me it's worse anyway, is the fear of, well, how is this going to affect my business? Right. If I speak up on this political thing, I might turn off some of my audience.
Right.
And right. I'm sorry, but that fucking pisses me off.
Yeah,
it really does. It really indicates to me, like, what is this really about for you? Why are you really doing this? And what does this mean to you?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a, I love that, dude. I love that. Because a lot of people take values and, you know, I got to figure out my values and my vision and my mission. And they take it as a business exercise, but they ain't ready to die for shit. They ain't ready to actually sacrifice nothing because they don't want to have to give anything up, right? They don't want to have to give anything up because, oh, you know, I'd rather be in this comfortable position with all these people who can, you know, embrace me and give me likes and all that other kind of stuff, but I don't really want to have to sacrifice anything. And here's the thing. The reason that they don't stand up for shit is because they don't stand up for themselves.
Mm. Say more about that. Let's like really pick that apart.
So for, you know, I put out a video the other day is, you know, you said about, I need to speak up. And so before I can ask other people to speak up, I need to see my, where I'm at in this, like, you know, see my own reflection before I ask other people to clean up their house. You spoke about that in the introduction. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, they don't look at them. They don't want to see their own reflection. They don't want to see their own shit. And so as a result of not wanting to see your own stuff, what happens is they go, oh, you know, I'm not standing up for racism or for Black Lives Matter. And they think that it's about Black Lives Matter. But what's happening is that they're not making the money they want to make in their business. And they don't know why. Their partner or their significant other is pushing them over and they don't know why. Right. They have these people in their universes that are saying things that are out of integrity. And they're like, you know, I'm trying to figure out why I'm having all of these issues with all these different people. And I just don't know why. You can't, they're not gonna stand up for Black people because they don't stand up for themselves. Mm. Why the hell would they stand up for me and for anybody else that look like me? Darker, lighter, whatever like that. Of course they wouldn't, because they don't stand up for themselves. Mm. So they're getting pushovers in their relationship. They're getting stomped on with their money. Their health is a mess. And so what happens is that because they're not taking a stand for themselves, they don't understand the vibration associated with it. So what they do is they co-opt somebody else's Facebook post or Instagram meme, and they say, these are my values and these are the values that I live by because this is a really cool post or a picture. But they're just getting it because somebody else gave it to them.
I think that in those circumstances, it's like these are the, maybe it's just my optimist, but I think that it's, these are the values I want to hold. I strive, I aspire to, but currently I lack the courage. And so they put it out with the hopes of A, being perceived that way in which they have not yet attained within. Mm-hmm. But also I like to think that it's a desire to, you know, fake it till they make it, so to speak. Maybe if I sort of do these things, I'll start to feel more of this way.
Right. So how does one find courage? How do you see one find, how do you go from this is the person that I'd like to be to this is the person that I've become?
Are you asking me? I mean, I work with this shit every day. So, I mean, a big part of the manner in which I work with folks around is first, let's crystallize the vision of who that person is that you want to be. Mm-hmm. And I believe that craving, that desire is there because like it exists within you and it's yearning to come into full expression. So first, let's get clear on who they are. And then what is it like? I mean, I've got a variety of tools to work with, but what is it like to just kind of try it on for a day, a moment, an interaction? Try it on as if you were this person. Engage, like take that courageous step. Speak up where you wouldn't have. Pick one particular, maybe mini action or behavior or way of being, and do that which you don't normally do, and see how it feels in your body.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, I'm in full agreement with you. The way that I would phrase it is step into the fire. Step into it.
Fire starter.
That's it. I mean, like, look, if I'm going like there for especially for men, when we talk about things like rites of passage, right? A lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, I have this thing, this person that I want to be. And then if I read enough books and I figure this out, then I can become this person that I want to be. But you have to put yourself in the ring, literally. And so what people are doing, I'll give you the perfect example. So courage, right? You're talking about courage. People are going, you know what? I don't really want to wage into this conversation because, you know, I don't want to say the wrong thing. Right.
That's a big one for a lot of folks. Yeah.
Huge. Yeah. I don't want to say the wrong thing. So then we'll go, well, why don't you want to say the wrong thing? Is it because your intention is to be right? Or is your intention to explore? Because if you change your energy in terms of the way that you come up, like the way that you step into a conversation, if I come in with an explorer energy, then that's different. I can say, hey, look, this is something I'm looking to work out. This is something I'm looking to create new awareness around. I'm not exactly sure about these things. Hey, help me gain some clarity on these things. But what happens is a lot of people are in the space of righteousness, so they don't want to be wrong. So they go, oh, I want to be right. I need to, every time I put something out on social media, every time I have a conversation with someone, I need to be right. So of course I wouldn't want to be wrong because my game is righteousness. My game is not exploration. But if I'm looking to explore a topic, what does Black Lives Matter mean? Why is it resonant with people, right? Well, like asking these questions, the superhuman quality that people forget about is curiosity.
Sure.
Just be curious. But your need to be right all the freaking time is preventing you from even including yourself in the conversation because I don't want to be wrong. Because everything I do, it needs to be right. And that's playing off over and over in your life. That's the reason that the reflection is happening in your money and your relationship and your health. It's the exact same thing. You don't want to explore. You just want to be right. And that's why people are afraid to be wrong.
So it's a very interesting angle at which you're looking at this. On one hand, I agree with everything that you're saying. I think it makes a lot of sense. And then there are these other elements. Jennifer Winfield in the comments here brought something in that I think, you know, I tend to agree with. She said that I believe you have to build shame resilience, and that takes time. Arnie Mandel has a book called Sitting in the Fire. We're talking about micro ego deaths here. So I'm going to put it in a slightly different way that there's the internal and then there's the external. You know, that we're in a time of social media mobs as well. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking for proof for why you should be hesitant, there's plenty of things that you can point to for reasons why you should be hesitant. You can find, you know, chances are you know somebody who's quote said the same wrong thing and next thing you know got piled on from all the people on their social media feed, you know, ripping them a new asshole. And so there's this aspect of ways in which I would like to see us be able to hold one another more through our growth journeys as well. That I think that going in with humility friggin' helps so much. And quite honestly, when it comes to things like Black Lives Matter, I particularly think white people should be coming in with some major friggin' humility, myself included. And at the same time, it's like, how do we hold one another? Because this, I usually address this in regards to men, women stuff. I'm expanding that conversation to this conversation that clearly connects so much and is so needed right now as well. That that is there a way that we can hold each other with greater compassion and empathy as we grow and understand more deeply? And I noticed just recently, a couple weeks ago, I was on a group call, and we did like breakout groups. And one of the people in my breakout groups said some things in regards to Black Lives Matter that was ignorant. We'll just say that it was ignorant. Sure. And it was an All Lives Matter type of a response, put simply, okay? And I noticed immediately, like my immediate internal response was judgment and anger, or anger and judgment. And thankfully, I didn't have a chance to speak for a little bit, so I had time to simmer. And then I'm like, all right, so instead I used my time, so to speak, to not speak directly to this person, but rather to express my perspective and what I've seen and why and how I've come to believe what I believe and why I support the way I support. And that first response that I had, though, of such like anger and judgment, where I just wanted to immediately write this person off, fuck them, they're just they're ignorant, and I don't think it helps. It's like, on one hand, I get people, especially Black people who've been dealing with things like this, who knows how many times today, let alone for how long, I can get understand an exasperation and a not my job type of a feeling around it. But, you know, when you are resourced, and those of us who are resourced, how do we support one another? How do we take those under our wings? And quite honestly, I think that white folks who get it a bit more have a greater responsibility to help carry along other white folks who are still getting it. But yeah, I guess it's just that, like, I'm less concerned with righteousness and more concerned with pragmatism. Like, what will actually be most effective for creating change?
Got it. Let me ask you one question. You said, when you speak up to the idea of like holding each other, is that what you're talking about in terms of the context of like compassion in that way?
It's like, it's helping hold somebody through a process and help draw them along. And I tend to think that right now as a society, we revert to shaming, guilting, and bashing and ostracization more than, you know, I don't know, helping people through their emotional process, understanding. Like, I am where I am around these things, which I'm sure I have my blind spots. I am sure. Please, again, if you see something, let me know. But because of life I've lived, the things that I've experienced firsthand, that's why I get it to the degree that I get the way in which racism has touched my personal life countless times over 20 some odd years, whether through interracial relationships, whether through being a Jew, and occasionally less frequent because it's not as visible, and anti-Semitism is its own interesting set of prejudices in this country. People in my life, And of course, my deep engagement with social justice issues and being on the street and experiencing police brutality, both right in front of me, as well as the fact that both my rotator cuffs have been torn and my cervical disc were herniated 14 years ago last week by the San Francisco Sheriff's Department. And like taking part because of those types of incidences, taking part in my first National Coalition Against Police Brutality, November 22nd, if I remember things right. When I was like 19 years old, and this was after witnessing a police brutality incident, incidentally, and seeing that, wait, almost everyone here, like 85% of the people at this demonstration, protest, whatever, are Black and Latino. Why is that? And seeing one mostly mother after another come up on stage and speak about her son being murdered by the police.
Yeah.
At 19 years old, that had a fucking impact on me.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, you know, it's these experiences that I've had that allow me to have, and then I recognize when I see some of the people in my midst who seem so completely clueless, and I look at, you know, what I do see of their lives is they don't have the experiences that I have had. They have a different set of experiences. So what do you really think it would take? Like, what do we do?
Yeah.
Right. What do we do?
So, you know, there's a few things that you shared that I really want to speak to.
Please.
I'll talk about Black Lives Matter, but let's go 30,000 foot view. Let's talk about just racism real quick. Right.
Yeah.
So what happens a lot of times, and we'll talk about solutions and go into like the things that people can do. I wanted to share like a personal experience, right? So, you know, eight years ago at this point, I was at a point in my life where I was broke, like double broke and a half. broken emotionally, broke financially, two DUIs, girlfriends paying the bills, like my life was a mess, right? And I was in a point where I was looking for employment, right? Just looking to get phone calls, right? So not really in the employment process, but just, you know, looking to get work. And one of the things that people don't necessarily realize about racism is that racism is a deeply held belief that that someone of a different, race or different, you know, from a different perspective or different cultural background, that my race is superior to yours. And again, when we say superior, what happens is they go, oh, well, I don't think I'm better than you. But what happens is that the narrative associated with racism drives the action. When I was looking for a job, I would send out my resume, right? Like any person would, right? And what most people don't understand is that when people see San Yika at the top of a resume, that what that does is that I'm going through this period of my life, looking to get my life back in order, working through, and I see San Yika at the top of a resume. And they go, San Yika. Oh yeah, I'm not really trying to hire that chick. She probably from the hood. That happens in conversations. And then people go, well, how can you prove it if you didn't know, that if you didn't get phone calls or anything like that? How can you prove it? There have been studies that show when you have an ethnic sounding name as opposed to a traditionally white sounding name at the top of a resume, you're 50% more likely to get phone calls back as a result, right? And so what happens is that racism enters the conversation from that perspective, and it goes, oh, San Yika, right? That African or whatever sounding name, the idea is that that name becomes this representation to some people of a narrative that they have in their heads about who I am as a person. That happens. And listen, as a fair-skinned African-American, that's a different conversation when you see me in person, because people of lighter complexion don't face the same pushback or overt racism as people who are darker than me. And imagine if I was as big as I am and darker, I would be immediately seen as a threat. Always. I mean, I'm already seen as a threat in general, but if you have a darker complexion, then all of a sudden you are immediately seen as a threat. So now my skin complexion and my name become weapons that are used against me. So now I'm looking at the way that my name is perceived in the world, and I'm looking at the way my skin complexion is looking perceived in the world. And now I'm trying to find my place. And my name is a connection to my identity, right, as a human being. So now I feel like my identity is under assault or under attack. And now my skin is weaponized against me. And so that means that when I walk through the world, I either have to walk through angry and mad and frustrated about the way that the world treats me, or I have to try to gingerly walk through because I need to make sure that people receive me a certain way. Right? That is the way that a lot of people of color navigate through the world, trying to find their way in a predominantly white world, where if you are white and you are big or whatever it is, it's just you as a human. But if I am big and I am black, I am immediately seen as a threat. And that's the way that people are seeing. So what happens when the conversation goes into Black Lives Matter, and I'll get into the idea of the solutions, when it goes into Black Lives Matter, we're going to the conversation around Black Lives Matter, and people go, oh, well, you know, all lives matter, right? So then that's the retort. It's like, okay, well, Black Lives Matter. Well, no, everyone's life matters. Black Lives Matter is a representation of a systemic issue that has been plaguing this country for hundreds of years, right? That is deeply woven into the fabric of our society. Black Lives Matter is saying, hey, look, we need to right this injustice that has been happening ever since the beginning of the creation of this country. And when we right the injustice for Black people, it automatically rewrites the future for every other marginalized group. Every other marginalized group. All of a sudden, trans lives matter. All of a sudden, all of these other lives matter, right? As a result of unlocking this grave injustice. And we have to work on this pivot point where the injustice has greatly occurred. The amount of, if a Black person and a white person are accused of a crime, and somebody can research this, and I'll put this in the comment section, but I was talking with a friend of mine. I said, if a Black person and a white person are accused of the same crime, one out of 15 Black people will be convicted of the crime, and one out of 106 white people would be convicted for the same crime. For the exact same crime. I'll get the exact number, I'll put it in there. But my point is that this is a systemic issue that's affected people. And then go, well, that Black person down the street, and the Republican retort goes, oh, well, that Black person was able to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. That Black person was able to be successful in their career. That one individual was able to accomplish something for themselves in their lives. And that's what we get to do as people, but don't confuse one person's success for a system that's made against other Black people. You're confusing two issues, right? So I can pick myself up. I can pick myself up. I can achieve in my life. I can become a success, but there's a greater issue. And so that, you know, the quote is that, you know, we can only be seen by the way that we help the people who are treated the worst, right? The greatness of a country is judged by the measure of which it helps the people who are the worst off. So we step into this place. What I'm saying that it feels like the best solution right now is exactly what you are doing. You are entering into a conversation with someone from a unique perspective to be able to provide insight for you and for your audience as well. And we get to enter into more exploratory conversations. I'm saying a lot of people are looking at this and they're going, oh, you know, I need to vote. I need to do this. I'm talking about non-governmental actions, like people that things human beings can do for themselves. We can enter into conversations and we can speak from personal experience and we can talk about what we are experiencing this and be open to exploring with other people so we can educate ourselves, not entering with that righteousness I'm going back and speaking to that idea. Well, what if I'm seen as wrong? Why are you playing the game of right and wrong in your expectation? If I just go into something with the spirit of exploration, there's no way I could be wrong. I'm just going to explore. All right, so exploring the conversation becomes really powerful. And I think that's an opportunity that everyone gets to have, either through social media, either through conversations with people in their family that may say offensive things. I got some conversations I need to have with some people in my universe right now, direct conversations with people who have said some very offensive things that I've seen come through, and I need to address those people through exploration in a way that is compassionate. But at the same time, I'll end on this note, is that I think it's really important to, like, there's a concept called white fragility, right? And then it goes, you know, well, I wanna talk about this, but I wanna talk about it in a way that's really, like, okay for me, right? That makes me feel comfortable, right? That makes me feel okay and feel safe and feel like I'm seen and I'm heard and everything like that. And what I'm saying is that for every white person who is listening to this, is that you get to be an explorer in this journey, and you get to, especially coaches and leaders and speakers, this is the work that you do. Listen, allow someone to express their pain. Just listen, create a platform for whatever, in whatever way, shape or form, allow yourself to listen, and let that be the discourse that you have with individuals, because that will create the space for other solutions that you can make. And there are organizations that you can support. There are initiatives that you can rally behind. But the way that this thing is transforming, Destin, is through social media. It's literally through conversation. Like, that's literally the solution. It is literally the continuation of these types of conversations. Not stepping out, not feeling like I need to be right, being an explorer, being open to conversation, and being open to listening to hear another person's perspective. I'm saying that that's the simplest thing you can do, and it's been impactful so far.
Thank you, Sanika. Thank you. I'm doing my best through our conversation to spend more time listening, as I can often with these podcast conversations get onto my soapbox, do my thing, and I'm like, you know, that's probably not the most appropriate here. let me put my pieces in and listen. You know, I asked you on because I knew that you had something very valuable to say, and here you are, you know, really presenting it. Within our society, you know, we have two different sets of people. And again, this is very similar to what I see with, like, the work that I do with men and around women. Mm-hmm. You have those who are just more ignorant in the truer sense, meaning they just don't really understand. And mm-hmm. then you have those who are actively opposed, those who mm-hmm. are pushing back hard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's, it's combined, really, you know, like the former, those who just, like, don't know or want to essentially, like, play neutral, or sure, like Black Lives Matter, let's just address this in a way that feels good. And, you know, can you just change your tactics a little bit, you know, all the realm of things. And I know Martin Luther King Jr. has a great quote around this, which I'm not going to know by heart, but around how that, quote unquote, the moderate white person is arguably the greater threat to the progress.
Right.
And a lot of times what I find is that those who are more moderate around this, who want, you know, who believe in the right things in theory, the big problem there is that there's often an unwillingness to really look within, because those bad people, so to speak, who are in direct opposition, who are, in this case, white supremacists or hardcore racists or what have you, it's easy to project everything onto them. They are the problem. Those are the bad guys. I am not that, therefore I'm fine. And this is what I love about your pick a side, take a stand, only black and white type of approach. Mm-hmm. That, like, no, if you are neutral, you are choosing the side of the oppressor, yes. So to speak. And I'm more, I feel like they need different tactics, how to help support those who are, you know, more neutral, blasé, not really taking a stand in any sort, and doing this, which is really a lot of, like, calling you up, man. Like, this is, you're, if you've been part of this community. You're tuning in for a reason. You're in this path of how do I be the man that I'm really here to be? Well, a core foundation of it is know what your truth is, know what you stand for, and stand for it.
Let me speak to this because everyone has a different approach.
Please.
There are going to be people who listen to this and they are immediately triggered by me. Immediately. Like they're going to be triggered by me. They're going to be like, I don't like that guy. He talks too loud. He's too, you know, whatever. That's the way that he moves. And I'm literally looking in the camera saying, I'm not going to hold your hand. I'm not holding your hand. This is tough love. I don't give a shit about your fucking fragility. I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit that you want it nice. I don't give a shit. And that's the stand. That's the stand. I don't give a shit if you don't like it. I don't give a shit if you're pissed. I don't give a shit if you want it in fucking roses and flowers. I don't give a shit if you want me to say love is the end. I don't give a shit. Somebody else will do that. I'm not the one. Find somebody else. Find them. There's many of them out there. There's tons of people with different perspectives. I'm letting you know that I'm not gonna hold your hand in this. I will call you forward with love. I will share my personal experience. I will share my heart in this. This is not like, you know, without compassion, but my mama loved me. And my mama would smack me upside the head if I was out of line. My mama loved me, loves me. And she called me forward. She said, when you are a leader, there will be people who will just not like you. But it is your responsibility, Sanyika Mensa Ade Street. Those are my two given names. It is your responsibility, Sanyika Mensa Ade Street. And you know, whenever your mother said all three of your names or all four of your names, you know it was something that you needed to step into. Is that whenever you needed to step up, is that she said, you better step up because it's the stand that you are taking in your life. Destin, I don't have time for people who don't want to come through in the way that the communication. There's 7.7 billion people in the world. Everyone has a different frequency and vibration. This conversation is about tough love. There is love and it's tough. I'm saying if you post and lean into the discomfort, then lean in. I'm saying if you're posting about courage is on the other side of fear, be courageous. I'm saying that if you want to enter into a conversation, be an explorer. Don't worry about being right. Ask questions. Be a coach if you say you're a coach. Love is the answer. What does love do? What are the actions that love takes? I'm saying that there's tons of people out there who can give it to you in a nice and fluffy way. I'm not the one. That's the stand that I take. And what I'm saying is that I can still give it to you with love. I can be gracious, patient, kind, loving, and still give it to you real straight in a way that says, yo, this is the time for you to step up into the person that you always said that you wanted to be. I was at a Black Lives Matter a march the other day, and the woman said, she said, don't ever think that it's too late to become the person that you always thought you could be. This is your rite of passage. It's in front of you. It's here right now. Like it's in this moment. This is the time for you to step up. Your people are asking for you. Your tribe, your fans are waiting. Your children, your future children, everyone's asking for you to step up. And there are people in the comments who say, this guy is, he's really just like you, blah, blah, blah. That's okay. That's okay. I'm not worried about them. All I'm doing is taking my stand, and I'm open to exploring ways of being that help to amplify what it is that I'm taking a stand for. But right now, the most important thing that we get to do is take a stand and be explorers in this process so that we can rally together, if that is your intention.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you for bringing the fire. It's needed. It's appreciates an energy that I was hoping that I'd see from you today. That's so when you are saying to do it, to lean into the discomfort, and I'm hearing a lot of like have the conversations.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
That, don't get me wrong, I think that that's really fantastic and quite arguably the foundational piece. But I'm curious, like what more? I think a lot of people are wondering, like, what more can we actually do?
So when you say, I want to be clear on the request. So what more can we do, in what way to support? In are we talking about in a on a broader scale, like specifically for the movement? How can we rally around the idea of ending police brutality? I'm just trying to get more granular.
Yeah, as you said, the police brutality is a piece, clearly a freaking big piece, but a piece within a larger institutionalized racism in this country, and the wide variety of ways in which all people of color, but Black people, Indigenous folks, probably the most.
Black, brown, Indigenous, yeah, right.
Have to deal with on a daily basis, you know, like my daughter is half white Jewish and half Japanese, and I want my children to grow up in a just and equitable world, and I'm going to do everything I can with my life to help make that so. That's part of like what I stand for and how I choose to move through life.
Yeah.
And there's still always that question. Sure, I'll just make it personal. Like, there's still always that question of, okay, what else? You and I spoke about this a little bit leading into doing this call together. I think people can feel very powerless. I know that I can feel powerless. Again, I've been aware of these things for over 20 years, and they were going on long before I became aware of them 20 years ago. And the fear is they're going to be going on another 20 years from now. Like, what can we really do in the face of such massive institutionalized power? To be an active part of changing things.
Yeah. I really appreciate this conversation, this part. You are familiar with the framework Be Do Have, correct?
I believe so, but please go ahead.
Sure. I believe in the idea of vibrational leadership. I'd like to be specific for people that are listening. Whereas there are organizations that can be supported. I'm talking about a very specific thing that I believe that people can do. Very specific. And so from a vibrational standpoint, the question goes, okay, well, what do I do? What do I do? Before we choose what to do, we have to choose who we want to be. Before we choose what to do, we have to choose what we want to be. Going straight into the do, what I do, right, is what happens when you don't, like, if I choose who I choose to be, you did this, dude, before you got into the damn call, you took a breath. You inhaled life. That is the essence of life. You decided in this moment that you said, I need to get grounded. And what that being does is it allows us to get grounded. I'm saying that let other people give you NAACP and Black Lives Matter or as an organization or movement. I'm talking about what you can do as a human being, because the majority of people, Dustin, you know, whereas they can make contributions and donations, I'm talking specifically about what we can do as human beings right now, is that the very first thing is we can choose who to be. You can identify your values personally, as it relates to you as a person. And the second thing that you can do, the most powerful thing that you can do, is tell people where you stand. It's vibrational. Have you ever heard of something called the butterfly effect?
Sure.
The butterfly effect. The butterfly effect is a theory that states that when a butterfly flaps its wings, let's say in LA, that the vibration and the wind from a butterfly's wings, potentially through a series of events, could end up as a tornado 3,000 miles away. We must have faith that our actions lead to a greater impact. And guess what? There are people working on this from different ways. So one person listening to this, they can say, you know what? I believe in equality and justice. I'm going to take a stand. And that person may choose to take a stand and say on their Facebook page, Black Lives Matter. They may exactly choose to do that, right? And then what that does is that, because people go, you know, but I want to change this. I want to change this. Look, there's people working on this on the assembly line, and you just need to identify where you are on the assembly line, right? One of my friends, his wife's company that just got a second Series B or a Series A round from Google, is actually the company that's going into the Minneapolis Police Department to fix the damn issue. Mm. So what do I need to do as a human being? I just need to play my role. Just play your role. Take a stand, personally, your values, and then pick a side. Say this. And so what I'm saying is that pick a side is not about politics or religion. It's about taking a stand for your values, the values that you stand for, that you many people say that they stand for. That here's the opportunity for you to show them. Show your audience your vibration. Show them the leader that you say that you want to be. Show them through your heart and through your love. Like, this is the moment to do it. There's no other moment. Right now is the moment. And then what it does is it fuels her organization. You don't need to start a non-governmental organization. You don't need to do all that. There's people working on this from other places. Just play your role on the assembly line. Dude, I'm a dude. I'm just a dude playing my role, taking my stand on your podcast, in your group, on Facebook. Right, that's my role right now. I'm just playing my role. And my intention is to play my role like a motherfucker. That's my intention, to play my role. So play your role. Don't take on too much. Just take a stand. And if you see areas in your life where you are not taking a stand to build your vibration, maybe you build those micro actions. Maybe you have a courageous conversation with your significant other. Maybe it gives you the courage to step up. Maybe there's a conversation that you haven't had with your partner about money. Or about sex. Maybe that helps you to build that courage. And then from that, the second step is taking a stand on an issue. Clean up your house, man. Clean up your house. I've operated, and listen, man, I am proof that you can have a second shot at your first dream. I am living proof. Every aspect of my life was about either conformity or living into the idea of another, being somebody that everybody else wanted me to be. And the bottom line is that me coming on here, having this conversation with you right now, is the transformation of who I have become to this point. And that person will continue to grow. And so what I'm saying is that if you feel the vibration in my voice, in this essence, this is your opportunity to become the person you always thought you could be. This is the moment. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying it, let people who are working on this from a high level do their job and just play your role. Don't take on too much. Step up for your community. Be definitive. Be clear and specific and direct.
Thank you. I really took that in. Yeah, I knew that bringing you on would end up being for me just as much as for my audience. Yeah, I'm constantly seeking what more. What more should I do? What more can I do? And, finding that balance around what is mine to do, including what is not mine to do, is very, it's an important inquiry to be in.
We get to refine that together, brother.
Yeah.
I hope you understand this, man, is that I see drops of me in you. I am invested in your future. You don't even know it. I am invested in your future because I care about you as a human. Because I care about your future. I care about your impact. I care about the human being that you are issuing to the world. I care about that. I see that in you. I am invested in it. We are connected. We are brothers, whether you knew it or not, whether I said it or not. And so what I'm saying is that I see the value in what it is that you are doing. And so what it does is it ups my vibration too. It amplifies the work because we have work to do.
Yeah.
We have work to do. You called me forward. And what I am saying is that for anyone who is listening, this is an opportunity for you to step forward in terms of who you want to be. I am proof. that someone who lost his way could find his way. And so what is that? Even in this moment, if you feel lost, if you feel like, yo, I just don't know what to do, this is an opportunity to get refined in terms of the person and the stand that you want to be in the world. Don't take on too much. Just do the thing that you can do. There's people working on the assembly line on this. By the time this little piece of metal is done, it's going to be a vehicle. I promise. Just do your job.
Thank you so much, Seneca. That was really powerful. I knew that it would be the right decision to bring you on. Is there any particular project or place that you're focusing your attention right now that you'd like to share with our audience about?
I'll offer this. Normally at the end of, you know, podcasts and stuff, I talk about programs and things that I'm doing. People can reach out to me directly at sanyika@firestartalive.com. But I want to say, if there was an organization that I would advocate for people to support, truly, an organization for you to support. Many people have seen the hashtag on social media. Please go to Black Lives Matter. Like, go to the actual site, blacklivesmatter.com. Like, go to the site, see it, read the videos, read the materials. Like, see what they're supporting, see the initiatives that they're doing. Like, educate yourself on this. Like, it's a hashtag, but it's actually an organization. Like, go to the organization, see it. And then once you embody it, feel it, digest it, then that'll allow you to be able to understand the scope of this issue and the pain that people are experiencing and the hope for the future, the hope that we are. I mean, I went to a Black Lives Matter, I told you the other day, and I was like, the majority of the people in that awesomeness, they weren't Black. The majority. Like, it was all different types of people because they get it. And I'm really honored by the people who are listening, for the people who are stepping up for their communities, and the people who are taking a stand in terms of what it is that they want to be about. And that's what we need. We need more people who would take a stand.
I put it in the comments, and I'll also add it to the show notes. Awesome. Thank you so much, Seneca. Do you have any final parting words or message you'd like to leave people with?
Yeah. I really want to honor you, man. You know, social media works. It works. Mm-hmm. It works. Media works, right? It works. And I just want to honor you for taking a stand and having this conversation and encouraging people to do more of these conversations, do more, have more conversations, educate more people. And I'll just end on this one note is that, you know, living in the Black and white has nothing to do with politics or religion. It's about the person that you are choosing to be. Who are you choosing? Who are you choosing to be? When you go, if you're getting married to somebody and, you know, you go up to the altar and the priest or the officiant says, do you take this person to be your lawful wedded wife? You don't say maybe. You say yes, right? Make a stand for the person that you choose to be and say yes to you. You got work to do, man. We got work to do. And I'm inspired by the people I see doing the work.
Yeah, likewise. And allowing the inspiration to call you into what else can you do? What else are you capable of? Who else are you capable of being?
Yeah. For sure.
Thank you so much, Seneca, the Firestarter Street. Thank you for bringing the fire, really, as like the most impactful part of today for me. And it's good to call you a brother, and I look forward to continuing our connection.
Absolutely, brother. Right. I'm with it.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Evolve Masculine podcast. Tune in, check out the rest of the episodes. We have 65 plus of them at this point. Subscribe to the channel, rate, review. Believe me, those things help more than you may realize. And always really a pleasure to be on this growth and transformational journey with you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Evolved Masculine podcast. If you liked what you heard, please be sure to subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a comment to help other men discover this show and help the Evolved Masculine movement spread. It really does help. I want you to do more than simply consume content, but rather to embody a new way of being and radically transform your life for the better. Join us in the Evolve Masculine Membership Community, a brotherhood of men who are committed to being the best men that we can be. Crystallize a vision of your most evolved masculine self and implement the tools to take him out of the idea realm and begin embodying him now. Reprogram your sexuality and deepen your understanding of women and the feminine. Learn more and join us at evolvedmasculine.com/membership. I believe in you. Thank you.